District 32, Business Radio. Insights and inspiration. District 32. By today's business leaders.
Hello and welcome to District 32 Business Radio. My name is Lorraine and I'm here today with Shil Shangavi from Chatterbox Public Speaking. How are you, Shil?
I'm very well. How are you?
I am excellent, thank you.
Good.
I'm all the better for getting the opportunity to interview you today. Thank you very much for coming along.
The feeling is mutual. It's an honour to be here.
It is a pretty cool thing to do.
Yeah, that's a very cool. Come have you seen the room we're in? This is awesome.
It is nice to come into a studio. You know, it's a bit of an experience.
It is.
But I mean, I've asked you here today, and we've seen you speak. We've heard you speak, and we are very impressed with your ability to speak and to hold an audience. Your branding is exceptional, and how you've positioned yourself. And it was that. You know, caught our eye to invite you out in for an interview. So that in itself leads into the title of your interview today, which is all around, you know, public speaking. It's an essential skill for business. So tell me a little bit about your business and why are you in this business, Shil?
Sure. Before I do, thank you so much for what you said about the branding and the positioning. I've put a lot of effort into it, so it's nice to know you recognize it in that way. Why do I do this?
Yeah.
I've got two reasons for doing public speaking. Firstly, I'm terrified of public speaking.
Oh. Wow.
And so a way for me to control the fear, I don't believe the fear can be overcome. It's why I say control the fear, was to actually do it. And it's driven by a very personal story, which is my stutter. And ever since I was 10 years old, so my parents tell me I was 10, I've had a crippling stutter, and for a long time I would struggle to say my name, I would struggle to talk. Even now while we're having a conversation, my hands are tapping, there's a lot going on in my mind to control my speaking ability. And if I switched it off, we could not have this interview.
Wow.
Could not have this chat.
Wow.
So my stutter and my fear drove me to doing public speaking because I thought if I can do that, I can use the skills I learn to control my stutter and become a better speaker.
Wow. And then to master that, you think, if I'm doing it anyway, I may as well teach others. At the same time, it makes sense.
Yes. And so the teaching others came around. I was employed in corporate in architecture and construction for about 10 years. In that time, I had to network a lot. I had to present a lot. I watched other people present a lot, and I didn't think me or others did it particularly well. And I thought, surely there's a way to make public speaking and presenting a more fun and enjoyable process. And because of the challenges I faced with speaking, I now understand it's given me a heightened awareness of the different things to look for, the ways to speak, the ways to engage, and it's intuition, which I've developed over such a long time, that I've used the kryptonite and I've turned it into a superpower.
Wow.
And I now teach that to others.
Yeah. Wow. Your story is incredibly inspiring. I had no idea that you had a stutter. I have no idea that you've got any fear around public speaking. So, yeah, that is really inspirational. So, you're leading in that space because most people have got a fear of public speaking and they don't have a stutter. It is actual truth that people would rather die. Yeah.
Yes.
And there's one step away.
I've heard of the saying, yes.
Yeah.
Do you know what? The funny thing is there's no way to actually prove it.
No. Unless you're asking them to speak or jump off a cliff.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. But I completely agree with you. It is such a fear for so many. I fear it. I'm emceeing a big event tonight, and the truth is I'm really nervous about it.
Yeah.
I've spoken multiple times, and I get nervous every single time.
So it must add double. Do you think you must experience double the fear, double the anxiety, the nerves, when you've also got on top of public speaking, trying to control a stutter? That must be double the pressure.
It is double the pressure. I feel for me it is double the nerves, which is why I feel I'm so equipped to show other people what you need to do to control the nerves and control the pressure.
Absolutely.
Because from not just my mind, but from a stutterer's mind, everything is amplified. If you can't pronounce a word inside us, inside our minds, it's a big deal. But to the audience, it might not be such a big deal.
Yeah.
So when something small happens and you can't pronounce a word, if it's in front of an audience, if it affects your mindset, you go down a rabbit hole. Then you've got a choice. Either you pull yourself out and control it, or you let yourself just keep spiraling out. And a lot of people go down the spiral option. There's a way to prevent that from happening.
Wow. It's really powerful stuff. After you've got up, like after tonight when you go emceeing and you're finished, how do you feel afterwards? Is it an achievement? Are you ecstatic? Are you like fall down in a heap exhausted with the levels of control that you're maintaining? How do you feel?
Can I be completely honest with
this? Yes, please.
Ecstatic, yes. After every presentation, my head is thumping.
Really?
My head hurts. My eyes normally go bloodshot.
Wow.
I collapse in a heap because the mental stress it puts on me is enormous.
Wow.
And so I'll normally go home and just collapse because it takes so much energy out. That's just the card that I've been dealt, though, so I need to deal with it.
Yep.
So I love the fact that I'm doing it, and when I'm there, it's so empowering, it's so fulfilling. When you've delivered a good talk and you can see you've engaged and influenced a room, it's amazing. The opposite side of that is, for me, when I go home, it's heavy on the mind.
It's exceedingly high performance levels. And when you're there, it's really high energy and focus for a long period of time.
You're on A game constantly. Yeah. From the moment you walk in, from the moment you shake hands with the first person that comes into the room, you're on. And from the last person who leaves, you're on. Because it's not just the talk. There's then the Q&A section.
Yeah.
And often with Q&A, what people don't understand is a lot of times I have to think a lot about the words I use.
Yeah.
And if I can't pronounce it, I'll think of a substitute. And so when you're put on the spot like that, it doesn't give you much time to think. You got to think quick. I can't pronounce this. I've got to say this. I really can't say this. I need to change it. Struggle with people's names a lot because you can't change a name.
Yeah. Unfortunately, yeah.
You can't change names. So I love it. It's very fulfilling. It's empowering, but it's also very taxing on the mind.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that and sharing your story. What that does is just adds weight to the inspiration that's coming for yourself. And you're really leading. You're a true leader in the sense that you're motivating and inspiring others to get up there and do it. You know, that's what the motivational leader comes from. If I can do it under my circumstances, then so can you. So it's a perfect place for you to be in.
I would like to think that way.
Yeah.
It's great to hear it from somebody else, so I appreciate you saying that. Thank you.
We often need the feedback. We always need the feedback. So you're loving what you do, and you're working with lots of different types of people, from keynote speaking to one-on-one training and coaching. Where do you go after that? What's next for you?
For me?
Yeah.
I haven't thought too far ahead.
Okay.
And the reason is things are going so well at the moment.
It's amazing.
I do work I love with the people I love, the way I want. I read this amazing book by somebody called Matt Church, who's a professional speaker, and their whole philosophy is do what you love, the way you want, with the people you love. And I'm doing that now. And I don't want to get too caught up with a long-term plan because right now it's working so well. Wow. I meet incredible people. I work on amazing projects. I get awesome opportunities. And so I think it would be detrimental if I thought too far ahead.
Wow.
But where to for me now is I'd love people to recognize me as a good public speaker and as a good speaking coach.
A great role model.
If that happens, I would appreciate it. But it's more, I would like myself to be positioned in that way.
It's really encouraging and refreshing to hear someone say you're not thinking too far ahead because life is so good. You know, it's refreshing to hear. So I get thank you for sharing that as well.
No problem.
It's also the second time today I've had an interview where people are really talking about intuition and, you know, and feelings and awareness. So there must be something in the air.
Must be.
So, Sheila, I invited you along because, again, I think you're really inspirational. I think you put a lot of nuggets in there that will help people in business. So from a District 32 point of view, we see people every single day when they come along to networking events and they're doing their 60-second introduction or their elevator pitch. And a lot of people get really good at it. A lot of people stay really average at it. And some people won't get no aspirations to be any good at it whatsoever. But I just think that with a little bit of guidance and looking at things from a different angle, that you could really assist other business owners to just put a different angle or a different spin on public speaking so that they can position themselves better in business. So you have got three great tips for us today. And that first tip is how to use speaking to position yourself in the industry. So how does that work? How does that work for you and how does that work? How can that work for other business owners?
Let's talk about how it works for other business owners.
Okay.
A lot of people are so afraid of speaking that they avoid it.
Absolutely.
I think if you use speaking as a business development tool, it is incredibly powerful because it can position you as an expert, as an authority, as a credible source of information. And when you can design a presentation or a talk and book yourself in to do one presentation to 100 people every month, from a business development perspective, it's a captive audience and it's a really powerful way to market you and your brand. You then use that presentation as a way to create a funnel and bring people to you rather than you constantly going out to people. You can then take parts of that talk and create your, I don't like the term elevator pitch.
Yep.
And the reason is because I always feel when you meet somebody for the first time, you never want to be pitched to.
That's right. Yep.
So I like to call it, a short story.
Okay.
So when you meet somebody and there are two questions you normally get asked. What do you do and are you busy? And they're comfort questions.
Yep.
Your response to what do you do should be so interesting and so compelling that the person you meet or the group you're around feels they want to know more. Please tell me more. And then you feed them a nugget or a soundbite and you can pick that from a presentation which you've designed.
Okay.
So one presentation can be used to position you as an expert, an authority. You can pick parts of a presentation to craft elevator pitches or short stories, and you're able to recycle that then to multiple audiences. So using speaking as a business development tool, powerful. You can even apply it to videos. It's a form of public speaking. If you video well, you can use your videos as a way to position yourself online, on social media, and tell people about the work you do and the brand you're building. Does that make sense?
It does. And I guess the fact that if you get the opportunity to be on stage in front of 50 or 100 or more people, it means that someone else thinks you're an expert anyway, you know, to get the opportunity. Would you say that? What would you say for the business owners who say that's not for me or it's not for my industry? What would you say to...
It's not for everyone.
Okay.
It is not for everyone.
Yep.
I will sound biased by saying it should be.
Yeah.
However, I completely understand that it's not for everyone. The pure fact is you want to get in front of as many people as you can.
That's right. Yeah.
You want to get as many appointments and meetings as you can. This month alone, I'll be presenting to over 600 people.
Wow.
Speaking to over 600 people.
Yeah.
Out of that, the amount of appointments and coffees and referrals and proposals which I will be able to deliver is enormous. So I think it should be used. However, it's not for everyone.
But it is a great marketing tool. It is a great brand exposure tool. It is excellent for lead generation. Some people want to do the cold calling and the one-to-ones, and other personality styles want to do it in one hit on the stage.
Well, you can spend time with cold calling, or an event organizer can do all your marketing for you. Put up your photo, your bio, your brand. You walk in. Obviously, you have to deliver a good talk with good content.
Yep.
But if you can do that, your marketing's been done. The cold calling's been done in the weeks leading up to it, and then you deliver well. It's a great tool for lead generation.
Wow. So for anyone who can put themselves out there and who thinks it would help them, it is another avenue, and you would recommend that anyone try it to position themselves well in the industry.
What's the worst that can happen?
Oh, I don't know if we could ask that question.
I know,
what's
it's happened to me.
What's the best could happen?
The worst has happened to me and I'm still here.
Right, okay.
What's the best that can happen?
Yeah.
Your brand and your business will grow exponentially.
Exactly. So thank you very much for that. I'm just going to reframe that. So for anyone who's looking to position themselves as an expert in the industry, public speaking is an excellent tool to raise awareness, to generate leads, to market your brand before, during and after a speaking gig. And Shill highly recommends it.
That's a fantastic summary.
Oh, thank you. So that leads us on to our second tip. So when we are up there and we're speaking to an audience, how do we engage that audience and how do we know when we're engaging them?
Engaging an audience is the key to a good presentation. You need to have interesting content, rich content, but strong delivery. And it takes time to develop that content. It takes time to develop your talk. Now, you can tell stories. Have you heard of the term storytelling?
Yeah.
You can tell stories. That's great. But you need to actually show your story. So I'm evolving it to story showing. Through that, it's all about your body language, your movement, your presence, your pitch, your tone, your eye contact, having the confidence to move around the room and approaching people in a conversational style. How long do you hold your eye contact for before you move on to the next person? If you're talking about specific things, so say, for example, I could talk about my wife and I use my wife in a talk that I give. It's a business talk. I can talk about her or I can take off my ring and I can talk about her and it draws attention to my wedding ring.
Okay.
But to really engage people, you need to speak with emotion.
Absolutely.
You need to weave personal stories into it, but they need to be a relatable story to the audience. Don't come across as somebody fake. Don't try and pitch. You know, take people on a journey, a relatable journey. And I suppose you need to ask the question, why would people want to listen to me? I have a message to share. I think it's a privilege to be able to speak and for people to give you their time, but why should they listen to you? What's your idea worth spreading from a TED Talk perspective?
Yeah.
And why should the audience allow you to plant that idea into their minds?
If I can just go back there, so to engage your audience, there's several things that you mentioned there. One is you have to be able to relate to the audience. Mm-hmm. You have to be sharing personal stories. Mm-hmm. And you need to learn how to communicate, perhaps through props or eye movement, or having your audience focus on a particular thing.
Correct. You summarized it again exceptionally well. I realize I went off tangent slightly. Keep it simple.
Okay.
If it's simple, you can follow it and your audience can follow you. Have some fun. Adjust your voice. Don't talk in a monotonous tone the whole time. Adjust your voice. Adjust your pitch. Adjust your tone. Speak with emotion. Mm-hmm. If you can speak with emotion, it's actually easier to speak when you allow yourself to be emotional. Yep. Don't be afraid to show your vulnerability.
I was going to come to that. You know, Brené Brown is famous for sharing all the stories and speaking and getting into the arena and you can only be a leader, or some of the things she says, you know, is leading is demonstrating vulnerability.
Yeah.
So you think that is another way that, or a really important way to engage your audience?
I think it's a very powerful way to engage your audience. How many people would be thinking some of the things you say? When by showing your vulnerability, you allow the audience to come into your world, you allow them to see a side of you which they wouldn't have otherwise thought of. Generally, from an audience's perspective, and I appreciate I'm going to generalize here, when the speaker is up there, it's, well, that person's a speaker. Mm. If that speaker lets his or her guard down and really shows their vulnerability, the weaknesses, it straight away creates a sense of empathy, and you can build on that. It's got to be done in the right way,
yep.
But it's a very strong platform to build off.
All of a sudden, you're a human being.
Absolutely. I have a talk around buying a cup of coffee.
Okay.
It's a business talk.
Yep.
Around buying a cup of coffee and how that cup of coffee changed my life. everybody can relate to a cup of coffee. I'll bring a cup of coffee into the talk.
Yeah.
Because I want everybody to understand it's such a simple everyday item that you know what it's like, and it brings them into the talk, puts them into my position, and I can then build on buying a cup of coffee.
Because you've got common ground from the get-go.
Absolutely.
Wow. So how do you know if your audience are engaged? That might be a simple question to ask, but how do you know? What do you have to look out for?
Eye contact.
Okay. So they're still looking at you.
You can normally tell if they're engaged. People might be on their phones, but in some instances, we can't stay off our phones now.
I know.
You might be giving the best talk and somebody gets an email or a call which they have to take. You need to be able to read the room. Yeah. You need to be able to feel the audience, to feel if they're engaged or not.
Yeah. And that, again, I'm guessing that's a skill.
It is a skill.
That you learn.
It is a skill.
Thank you very much. Again, some great tips around there around engaging, opening yourself up, demonstrating vulnerability, getting some common ground, showcasing that you're a human being.
Yeah.
And then measuring that you've still got a level of engagement
that's
in
right.
the room. Thank you very much. I'm sure you're inspiring a lot of budding public speakers out there. But you've got another tip for us and for all those who are, again, looking to polish these skills around public speaking. You are going to share with us things not to do when you're speaking and why you shouldn't be doing those things. I am intrigued. What shouldn't we be doing when we're public speaking?
The first thing you should not be doing is speaking fast.
Okay. But that's what we all do, right? We get really, really excited.
We speak fast because we sometimes feel nervous.
Yeah.
And when you feel nervous, you tend to talk fast. Yep. If you talk fast, you have less control over what you say, and there is more chance of you making an error and tripping up.
Okay.
If you trip up, you'll think about it. So the first thing is don't speak fast.
Okay.
Speak slowly. You sound more controlled, more measured. From the audience's perspective.
Confident.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Sound more confident. A lot of people ask me if it's appropriate to memorize a script.
Mm-hmm.
I would advise against that.
Okay.
The reason is if you memorize a script and you forget part of that script while you're in front of an audience, it can trip you up.
You get frozen looking for the searching in your brain for the next line that's meant to be there.
Now, there are ways to manage that.
Okay.
That's quite an advanced skill to pick up, but
okay.
Really, in simple terms, know your content, have a mind map for what you want to talk about, understand your script. Personally, I would avoid the memorization because if you forget a paragraph or a chunk of it, it can really throw you off.
Okay. Well, what do you think about bullet points and notes then, and referring back to your little palm cards?
Palm cards are fine.
Okay.
Bullet points are fine.
Okay.
The palm cards is actually another one. If you're reading off your notes, Try and put your notes on the side, because if you hold them in your hand and you're nervous and your hand shakes, people will see the notes shaking.
It's the little things.
It's the little things. If you're holding your notes, you're tempted to scrunch them up and play with them, and it can be quite distracting. So just put them by the side, and if you need to refer them, you walk over to your notes, have a read, stop, pause, and have a read, then come back to what you want to say.
Okay.
Stay in control.
Okay.
That covers the notes.
Right, yep. So we're sorry, we've got him. So speak slowly.
Mm-hmm.
Don't memorize.
Mm-hmm.
We can use palm cards.
Yes.
Not in your hand.
Yes.
Were there any other tips?
The last one's around the visualization.
Okay.
Sometimes we like to use slide decks.
Yep.
Now I'm sure everybody has heard of the term death by PowerPoint.
We have.
You have death by PowerPoint. Slides, images should be used to either enhance or amplify what you're saying or deliver a message that you aren't saying.
Right.
Big, bold images, clean backgrounds, fresh white backgrounds, make sure they stand out. If you have text, only single words, important text, big, bold text, you are the focus of the presentation, not your slides, not your images. Don't try and hide behind them. You should be in front, speaking, and whatever images or content you have should be there as a way to back up what you're saying.
I think that is such a great tip, because so often we do see is the PowerPoint slides and every word that comes out, the presenter is just reading from the slides, you know, and it's word for word, which is then distracting because you don't know whether to look at the screen or look at the speaker.
If you read, this goes back to the second point, it's not engaging. So right. You lose audience engagement if you read off the slide. Oh, okay. How often have the listeners or even yourself, I know I certainly have, watched a presenter who reads and you've thought, you're switching off. Mm. You don't feel that engaged.
It's good to know.
Yes,
we never know why.
I would avoid that. I would just have really clean, beautiful shots to amplify what you're saying.
I think that's a really important part for, I deliver presentations. A lot of business owners deliver presentations. And a presentation doesn't necessarily have to be any different from a keynote speak. You know what I mean? Unless you're presenting facts and figures, it should have the same rules and guidelines.
It should.
Should. That word should.
It should. However, our brains seem to go to mush when we're in front of people.
They do. It's that fear.
We don't think clearly.
Thank you very much for that. So let me just summarise then. We've spoken about how to use speaking to position yourself in the industry, how to engage your audience and how to measure it, and then things not to do when you're speaking, which are you have to speak slowly, don't speed up through the fear, don't memorise. It can really throw you off your guard. And PowerPoint slides should only be there to enhance what you're saying and what you're talking about rather than word for word.
It's like you've done this before with your summaries.
Oh. It has. If there was, just to finish off on this interview, what has been your biggest learning through everything that you've done and taking this skill that you've mastered, and you are an inspiration and a leader, whether you like to say it yet or not, you are. But what has been your biggest learning in turning this into your dream? What is that learning?
This is going to sound really cliche, but just be yourself. My biggest learning has been just being me. I've come from a competitive corporate world,
yep,
which is all about suits and deals, and it was that sort of life. And I became something that I didn't like. I became someone that I didn't like. And doing this, the biggest thing that I've learned is by being me, I feel people respect me more.
People can see
the authenticity. And this is not just me. As a business owner, a practice owner, whatever you do, just be you. People will see it. People will feel it. And you will attract. People often ask, what sort of clients do you want to work with? And I always say the clients that want to work with me.
Yep.
And so you will attract clients who want to work with you by being yourself.
Wow. Thank you very much, Shil Shingavi from Chatterbox Public Speaking. It has been an absolute pleasure. And we wish you all the luck in your speaking gig tonight.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure to be here.
Thank you.
You've been listening to District 32 Business Experts that educate and inspire. District 32 Business Radio, Business Experts, throughout the hour on District 32, the power of connection.